Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasa Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. We are holding on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph. We are at the Mishnah on the top of the page. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Alah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first, the Mishnah is going to discuss the following. The Mishnah wants to talk about a case of a person who wants to give his nechasim to somebody, whether it be his son or somebody else, after he dies. But he still wants to have the nechasim while he's alive. So what language can he use that gifts the nechasim to people that they'll have it after he dies, but while he's still alive, he's still going to be able to use it? So essentially, it's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether one needs to say mehayom, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the consequences of such a transaction. What if the father sells those nechasim? Is that going to be chal? What if the son sells those nechasim while the father's still alive? Is that going to be chal? Does that have any impact? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the difference between using the phrase mehayom ulachar misa by a matana, like in our Mishnah, and by a get, and why the halachos might be different. The Gemara is then going to try to explain the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds in our Mishnah that you don't need to say mehayom in order for such a matana to be chal. It is understood that the matana of the guf akarka is chal mehayom, and that the father is or the person who's dying, who's eventually going to die, is able to enjoy the peiros as long as he is alive. So we're going to explain why it is that Rabbi Yossi does not require mehayom, and we'll even have some cases where Rabbi Yehuda does not require saying mehayom. Then the Gemara is going to talk about what if you have such a transaction set up that, let's say, a father is giving all these nechasim to his son for after he dies, but in the meantime the father is going to be able to continue to use the peros of these nechasim. So they have all that set up, and the son sells it to somebody else. So whatever his rights are, he sold to somebody else, and then the son predeceases the father. So now what happens to that sale that the son made? The son never actually took possession of it himself. So do we say, therefore, his lokeach cannot either? Or do we say, no, whatever rights he had, and the lokeach just steps into his place and takes those rights? And the Gemara, that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of kinyan aperos kikinyan aguftami, olav kikinyan aguftami. Right? Do we assume that if what you own in the karka is the rights to the peros, that you are the primary owner of the karka? Or do we assume no, the person who has the kinyan aguf is the primary owner of the karka? So let's begin with the Mishnah on Kuf Lamed Vav Amar Aleph. Hakosiv nechasov lebanav. A person writes a shtar matana that he wants his nechasim to remain in his own possession so long as he's alive, but he wants his banim to be able to own it and to take full possession after he dies. So tzorek sheyichtov, he has to write that he's being makanit to them mehayom ula acharmisa, that the matana should already be chal right now on the day that I'm writing this shtar, but it will be concluded la acharmisa. And the Gemara is going to discuss the precise geder of this kinyan. And we're talking over here about a matnas bari, right? If we're a matnas shchiv mera, it's always going to be chal liachar misa. That's the takanas chachamim. So about a perfectly healthy person is just trying to set it up that he's giving all of his nechasim to his children already now, but that he should continue to be able to use the peros. So that's what Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says he's got to say me'ayom ulachar misa. But if he just says la'achar misa, this is going to belong to you, and he never says me'ayom, the matana is not chal at all, because La'achar Misa, it's too late to give a matana. La'achar Misa. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't have to write the word Mehayom. Even if you just say you're giving these Nechasim La'achar Misa, the matana begins Mehayom, and then it concludes La'achar Misa. So the Gemara is going to have to explain why, if he never said Mehayom, why should we assume that the matana is really Chal Mehayom? So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Now, If he wrote Mayom Malach Nisor, according to Rabbi Yossi, or even without the word Mayom, if he has such a transaction in place, where again, the children are the owners of the Nechasim starting now, but the father, so long as he's alive, is still enjoying the payrolls of those Nechasim, HaKosim Nechasim L'Bno L'Achramoso, Ha'avei Nuyachal Limkar, the father is not able to sell those Nechasim, Mimneshen Ksuvan Leben, because the Nechasim belong to his son, meaning they're not his anymore, so he's not able to sell Nechasim that doesn't belong to him, that no longer belongs to him. The Rashbam points out that we keep talking about a ben, it doesn't really have to be a ben over here, because this is not a din in Yerusha. This is a matana that he's giving to somebody. It could be anybody. It could be that he made such a deal with anybody else. The Ritva writes, so what's the chiddush that he's not able to sell it because it's not his? So the chiddush is that the father cannot be chozer from that matana. That you might have thought, me'ayom alachar misa, is I'm giving you this matana, al tanai, that before I die, I don't change my mind. And then when he goes and he sells it, I might have thought that constitutes a change of his mind and that he allowed himself the right to change his mind. Kamash Mulan, no. The matana is final, and because the matana is final, he should not be selling it because it is not his. The son cannot sell it because the peros, at least as far as the peros are concerned, it still belongs to the father. Now, what happens if they did sell it? If the father sold it, so the whoever buys the father's rights from the father is going to be mechurim atchiyamus, is going to be able to eat the peros of those nechasim until the father dies, meaning he's buying the father's position in that karka, and right now the father's position in that karka is the right to eat the peros. So the father should not sell it, but if he does sell it, the lokeach is buying that. He's buying the right to eat the peros. And then after the father dies, that lokeach is out of luck. That property is going to have to go to the son. Now, if the son is not alive when the father dies, so the yorshim of the son are going to be able to take it from lokeach. Lokeach still not going to get it, because the lokeach only purchased the right to take the father's position in that karka. That father no longer owns that karka. He only owns the rights to the payrolls as long as he's alive. So the lokeach only owns the rights to the payrolls as long as the father is alive. The Ritva writes, what's the chiddush over here? Chiddush is that even if the father goes and buys the guf hanechasim back from the son, or he yarshins it back from the son, let's say the son didn't have any children, the father yarshins it back, lokeach still doesn't get it, because at the time that he had sold it to the lokeach, he did not own the guf hanechasim. So even if the father now does own the guf hanechasim, it still doesn't go to lokeach. Meaning when the lokeach bought it from the father, he's not saying, I'm buying whatever rights you have in it now or will ever have in these nechasim. No, he's buying whatever rights you have in it right now. And if right now all you have is a kinyan peiros, then that's all I'm buying. Even if later on you prove to have a kinyan aguf. That's the chiddush of that line according to the Ritva. Now, machra ben, if the son sells these nechasim while the father is alive, en lokeach ben klum atshiyam asav. Lokeach has nothing until the father dies, because the son has nothing until the father dies. The peiros are meant to be enjoyed by the father so long as the father's alive. Now, once the father dies, the whole thing gets transferred over to the son. So because the son sold his right, once the father dies, the whole thing goes over to the lokeach. The lokeach has purchased the son's position in this karka. Good, so what our Mishnah said is, when you want to give a matana to somebody for after you die, but you want to still be able to enjoy the nechasim, Rabbi Yehuda says you need to say mehayom, Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to say mehayom. And then the second half of the Mishnah we said that when you have such an arrangement, neither party should be selling it, but if either party does sell it, they're only selling their position in those nechasim. So says the Gemara b'chikos mehayom alachar misa mehavi. Well, why does it help? How could the matana be chal even if you do say mehayom alachar misa v'hatnan? Don't we have a stira to this in Maseches Gittin, because we have a similar thing about writing a get where you're giving it mehayom alachar misa, and we do not say by a get what we're saying in our Mishnah, that yeah, it's a perfectly good transaction and it's really being chal mehayom, and just the ramifications of it are only going to be alachar misa. We do not say that by a get, because by a get we learned in Maseches Gittin, we view it as a suffix megreshes, as a suffix get, because we're not sure what the person means. Does he mean to be megarish mehayom, in which case she's megreshes, Or does he mean to be Megaresh Lachar Misaso, in which case she's Eina Megureshes, because Ein Get Lachar Misa, a get can't be Chal once the husband is dead. V'im Meis, and therefore if the husband dies without any children, and he has brothers, Chaletzas V'lomis Yevemes, she needs Chalitza, but she cannot do Yibum, because it's a Suffolk. We don't know if they were still married. So if they were still married at the time that he died, she needs a Yibum or a Chalitza. If they were not married, she does not need a Yibum or a Chalitza. So we play it safe and say that she'll do a chalitza, but not a yibum. So how can our Mishnah say that the matana is going to be chal if it's a lechorah should be a suffik matana? By a get, we said mayom lachar misa is a suffik get, that we don't know if it's chal or not. And yet in our Mishnah, we seem very confident that if you say mayom, it's for sure chal. The only question is, if you don't even say mayom, maybe it's still going to be chal. Rabbi Yossi would still say it's going to be chal. So it's a stira. So says Gemara, no, there's a big difference when you're talking about a get, because hasa misapgalan over there by the get, we're not sure what he meant when he said Me'ayom Lachar Misa. Is he trying to make a Tanai that he's being Megarish her today, but it's only Al Tanai that he dies from this illness that he's currently suffering from, and therefore if eventually he does die from that illness that he's currently suffering from, they are divorced today, they are divorced on the day that he's giving her that get? Or no, maybe when he said Lachar Misa, he's being Chozer on the word Me'ayom, and he really saying, first he said, oh, let's get divorced today. And then he said, oh, Lachar Misa. So he's changing his mind that he wants to get to only be Chal Lachar Misa, in which case, just doesn't work, because they didn't get Lachar Misa. You cannot be Megureshes Lachar Misa. So that's the case over there by Gittin, where it's a Suffolk Megureshes. Aval Hacha, but when a person is Kosev Nechasov Libno, or to anybody, and he says Me'ayom Lachar Misa, Hachika Amar Le, we know what he means. He means Gufa Kani Me'ayom, Pir Lachar Misa, that the Gufa Karka will belong to you starting right now, but the actual payrolls are only going to belong to you after I die, because so long as I'm alive, I want to enjoy the payrolls. So we know very well what he means when he says Me'ayom Lachar Misa, and therefore it means neither a Tanai nor a Chazara. By a get, that's not a possibility. I mean, by a get, we don't have, it's not Shaykh to say that he's being Mechalik between the Guf and the payrolls, because there is no Guf and payrolls when it comes to a get. So when you have a very clear understanding of what the fellow means when he says Me'ayom Lachar Misa, we go with that very clear understanding. By a get, there is no clear understanding. So that's why when it comes to a get, we have that, we have to try to figure out, does he mean a chazar or does he mean a tanai? The Ritva quotes that the Yerushalmi asks, well, by a get, you can't say that there's a difference between the guf and the peros? I mean, why not say that he's being makna her guf to her, but he's leaving himself the zuchus in maisei yodeha? Meaning there is a monetary peros element to a husband-wife relationship as well. Yes, there's the kinyan aguf, there's the kinyan ishos, there's the marriage, but there's also the monetary deal, right? And part of that is that he gets her maisei yodein. So why don't we say that me'ayom lachar misa means me'ayom, we're no longer married, but I'm really enjoying your paycheck. So the maisei yodein, then I'm going to keep for as long as I'm alive. So the Yerushalmi says that a shiur of maisei yodein is considered a shiur in the gufa ishos. That the way to view the monetary elements of marriage are not that there's ishos and then separate from that there are some monetary deals between them. No, the monetary deals are part of the nature of the ishos. It's part of what shapes the ishos. It probably relates a little bit to the concept of ksuba shalote kala be'in of lotzia. Right, that's what the concept that the ksuba should make it, that it's not easy to divorce. So it's not just a practical element. It means that the nature of marriage is that there's a sense of hischaivus one to the other. That's part of what forms the nature of marriage. So all the monetary stuff, says the Yerushalmi, that's the ishus. That's not separate from the ishus. And you cannot be mishayir anything in the ishus. The ishus either is or isn't. You can't have a little bit yes, a little bit no. So this whole concept of kinyan peiros of being makna, the gufa karka, but keeping the payers for yourself, only works when you're dealing with nechasim. It does not work when it comes to an ishus. Now, the Gemara seems to be assuming like one shita in Maseches Kiddushin, the shita of Rav in Maseches Kiddushin. There's a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan Kiddushin of Samach. When you say me'ayom la'achar zman, by a get and by kiddushin what the story is. The maisa is the sheet of Rabbi Yoch. So Rav said, well, we're not sure what he means. Is it a tanai? Is it a chazara? And therefore a mugureshes veinu mugureshes, right? We're not sure exactly what it is. Rabbi Yochanan says meyom lachrasman by a get and kiddushin is that the maisa is chal meyayom, but you're leaving something out, like you're mekadish nisha meyayom lachras shloshim yom. That even though the kiddushin begins right away, the kiddushin is only completed laachras shloshim yom, meaning that you could do kiddushin in pieces, that you're being mekadesher kind of a little bit to a certain degree today, and it's going to be not a moment but a process. So normally we think of kiddushin as a moment, and then right away it's chal. But the shita of Rabbi Yochanan is that no, when you're saying mayom lachar shloshim yom by a kiddushin, it's a process of kiddushin. We're going to start the process now, and lachar shloshim yom it's going to be completed. And therefore, if someone else comes and is mekadesher during those 30 days, the kiddushin is going to be chal to a certain degree, because there's a certain element of an incomplete kiddushin that she has with the first husband, and therefore she's going to need a get from both husbands, and therefore it's the Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that dafka kiddushin meyom lachar shloshim can the kiddushin be chal in that way. But if he says meyom lachar misa, it's not chal at all, because any get that has a shiur is not a get, and it's only midrabanan that she's mugureshes lechumra. So the Netziv says that the Gemara over here is assuming in its teretz like Rav. That Meikara, the whole kasha, and the reason it assumes in its teretz like Rav is because Meikara, the whole kasha, was only lefi shitas Rav. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, dafka by a get, we would say enim ugreshes. Because by gerushin, you need an absolute priestess, so there is no process by gerushin. By gerushin, it has to be, it is or it isn't. So that's a special din by gerushin. But everything else, including matana, is going to be separate. So that's what the Netziv just points out, that our entire sugya is assuming like the Shita of Rav, and that's why the Gemara in its Teretz assumes like the Shita of Rav, because the Gemara in its Kasha was assuming like the Shita of Rav. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yossi Yomarein Lasarach. The core machlokas in our Mishnah is, do you even need to say the word Mehayom in order to maintain the rights to the Peros of Yir Nechasim, while the Guf HaNechasim actually belongs to somebody else? So the Gemara tells the story. So Rabbi Yossi said, you don't need to say Mehayom. Rabba Baravua Chalosh, Rabba Baravua was ill, Ol Legabe Rav Huna, Rav Nachman Rav Huna, and Rav Nachman went to visit Rabba Baravua. So naturally they started talking and learning. Suddenly Rav Huna, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, Baimine, let's ask Rabba Baravua, Halach Rabbi Yossi, Wein Halach Rabbi Yossi. Should we pass on Rabbi Yossi or not? The impression you get is that they felt Rabba Baravua was dying, and they needed to get, they're like, okay, what's our list, right? Meaning, what are the things that we need to talk to him about, that we need to know before he dies? Rabbi Reisman told me once that when Rav Pam was very, very sick, he made a list of questions that he always wanted to ask and never had the guts to ask, that he knew it was going to be too late. And he went to him with his with a list of questions. Of course, I asked for the list. He did not give them to me. But okay. So the so they wanted to ask Rabbi Baravua these critical questions. Halach Rabbi Yossi or ain't Halach Rabbi Yossi? Do we pass him like Rabbi Yossi or not? So Amalei, Taimit Rabbi Yossi lo yadana. Halach Yibayimine. Rav Nachman says, what are you? You're sending me on a mission to ask a shaila about a shita that I don't even understand. Meaning, it's very hard to talk and learning when you don't even understand what you're talking. When you're sent as a messenger to somebody else, just say these words. I don't know these words mean, right? So I'm going to ask whether Allah is like Rabbi Yossi. I have no understanding of Rabbi Yossi. So I'm later, Rav said to Rav Nachman, just please, you ask these words, I'll explain to you afterwards what Rabbi Yossi's shita is based on, what the svara of Rabbi Yossi is. So Rav Nachman asked Rabbi Baravua, is the halacha like Rabbi Yossi? Amalei, hachi amarav, halacha Rabbi Yossi, that Rav Taka Paskins like Rabbi Yossi. So Basa Dinafku, once they left, Amalei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Nachman, haynu time to Rabbi Yossi, let me explain shitas Rabbi Yossi. Why is it that you don't need to write me hayom in the shtar? To Amar, the matana is chal mehayom anyway, because there's a date in the shtar. Why else are you writing the date in the shtar if not to show that something is happening already on that date? And what's happening on that date is that the matana is already chal on that date. So that's what's happening. The Rashba points out that it's only if he told the Edim to write the shtar with a date. But if the Edim just stand, they date all the documents, so they just wrote the shtar with the date. That's not mochiach that he wants anything to happen mehayom, right? You can only say zmano shel shtar will replace mehayom, the need for mehayom, and will show you that he really, the makna, really wanted to do a hakna mehayom if he insisted that it say that it say a date, but or that it says mehayom. But if it doesn't say mehayom and he never insisted on a date being in the shtar, then taka it's not mehayom, even according to Rabbi Yossi. That's the Rosh Peshitta. So anyway, so that was the explanation for Rabbi Yossi, that the date on the shtar is enough to indicate that it's really mehayom. Tanya nami hachi, Rabbi Yossi amarinu tzarech mepnei shazman shel shtar mochiach alav. We have a brisa that says it straight out that the reason you don't need to say mehayom is because you dated the shtar. So zman shel shtar mochiach alav, you don't need anything more. Now, the halacha is matana. The eshtar is one of the three ways that you could be kona karka, right? There's kesef shtar and chazaka. As soon as the nosein gives the shtar to the makabel on that karka, the kinyan is going to be chal. You don't need anything else, right? I mean, if you do a kinyan with a shtar that works, the person is the owner of that karka. Nevertheless, the minig is to do more, meaning even though that's all you actually need, a kinyan shtar works, you don't need anything more. The minig is to do a kinyan sudar, which is, you know, just take a handkerchief, whatever, with edim, and the edim write at the beginning of the shtar, v'kach omar lanu, havu alai edim, that this person said that we should be edim, v'konu mimeni ba'avur ha-makabel, and we were kona from, and he was kona from us on behalf of the makabel, v'kos v'chismu shtar matanazu, and we were authorized to write and to sign the shtar, and at the end of the shtar, the edim signed v'kaninu miploni l'ploni, and we were makna from this person to that person, kakala kasam furish la'el, everything that it says in the shtar with all of the details. So, and sometimes they'll write at the beginning of the shtar, v'kaninu miploni l'ploni, and at the end of the shtar, they'll say v'armelo kanam imeni, meaning sometimes they'll flip the language, but this is all a kiyum of that at the end of a shtar, you're supposed to be chozra and inyano shel shtar. So they have the language at the beginning, the language at the end, with a kinyan sudar, with the edim, as a way of strengthening this this kinyan. It's all midrabban, midaraisa, certainly. It's not even, it's a minhag that we're knowing to do, but really a shtar works anyway. So baymine Rav Merav Nachman b'hakna'a mahu, that when you have a shtar that has a hakna'a with the kinyan sudar, and it says that sada nesunalach la'achar misasi, and you don't say mehayom, so what's the din? Is that still a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning in our Mishnah, when you are trying to be makna yulachasim lachar misa, so we said that if you don't say mehayom, Rabbi Yehuda says nothing is happening today, and nothing is going to happen lachar misa because it's too late to make a kinyan lachar misa. And Rabbi Yossi says, you don't need to say mehayom. Zmano shel shtar mochiach lav. What if you did this whole hakna'a? Maybe through this hakna'a, you're showing, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you want something to happen today, that you want something to be chal today, because you're taking it so seriously that you're making this separate hakna'a with the kinyan sudra, with the edim. So maybe you don't even need the word me'ayom, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now it's interesting, we already paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and yet the Gemara is asking a shayla within Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, this question of do you need me'ayom when you do the, you don't need me'ayom at all according to Rabbi Yossi. So this whole question is really only within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what leads the Rashbam in Dibra Maskel Melchiach to say this is the makor for the Shitas HaGaonim that the minhag is to do like Rabbi Yehuda. Because otherwise, why would the Gemara be asking what the din is according to Rabbi Yehuda? Even though we already paskin halacha Rabbi Yossi, the minhag is like Rabbi Yehuda. Other Rishonim say no. The suffix of the Gemara is not like the Rashbam explained. The suffix of the Gemara is somehow even within Rabbi Yossi. It's not only within Rabbi Yehuda, but let's read the Gemara the way the Rashbam understands. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that generally speaking, you need to say mehayom. Does it work to do this hakna'a? So Rav Nachman said, now if you have hakna'a, then you don't need to write me'ayom, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the kinyan is sufficient proof that you're trying to give the mekabel as much koach as possible, which means that you want the hakna'a to be already me'ayom. So the Gemara brings machlokas amoraim that where it's clear that a shtar hakna'a does not require me'ayom. Rav Papi says, ika akniyasa ditzarech, vika akniyasa lo tzarech. Sometimes when you have a shtar hakna'a, you need to say me'ayom, and sometimes you don't need to say me'ayom. And it all depends. Remember we said before that there are two ways they would phrase the wording of the shtar. Either they would have, at the beginning of the shtar, va'amar lanu knu mimeni, and at the end of the shtar, v'kaninu miploni l'ploni, or they would flip it around. So he says it all depends on that. Aknia, that if at the beginning of the shtar it says the nosin is makne to the makabel with a kinyan ali day edim, and then in the last line of the shtar it says vikanina minei lo tzarech, then you don't need to say me'ayom, because that lashon implies that there were two kinyanim, that you were makne, that he was makne to the makabel through these edim, and that we were kone from him on behalf of the Mekabel. Why do I need two separate kinyanim? Because you're showing that you're being miyapa the koach of the Mekabel, that you're giving him the most koach as possible to be kone the matana already, mehayom. And that's therefore ki'ilu, you already wrote mehayom. Because using a double lashon of hakna'a shows that you're serious about this hakna'a, you want it to be chal, you want it to be binding, and therefore it's going to be mehayom. But if it started kanina minei, and then in the last line you said va'akniyei, so then tsarich, then you need to say me'ayom, because the second lashon of kinyan is not a second expression of a second kinyan. It's just the edim are explaining what they mean, that they were kono the kinyan sudra on behalf of the makabel through a hakna'a of the nosein. So there's no hochacha that you're trying to be miyapa the koach of the makabel by adding in an extra lashon of hakna'a. So if you don't write me'ayom, the kinyan is not going to be chal me'achshav. It's only going to be la'achar misa. So maskav rav chanina misu. Really, the sofrim that are writing up the shtar and how they choose to formulate at the beginning of the shtar, the end of the shtar, this is meaning a guy calls a lawyer and he says, do me a favor, write up a shtar, this is what I want to do. And the lawyer figures out what words need to be used in the contract. So the sofrim were the lawyers, they're the ones that knew what were. So the chachamim don't even know this halacha. That akniya and kanamina, that depending on how you phrase it, how you order it, is going to be mayom, is it not going to be me'ayom, and the sofrim know this, and this is something that the chum don't know, and the sofrim do know. So shalnu the sifri d'abaye v'yadi, the sifri d'rav v'yadi. So they asked Abaye sofrim, and they knew, and they asked Rava sofrim, and they knew. Yeah, sometimes the chum may have difficulty, but this is what the lawyers do. So they're going to ask the client, do you want us to phrase it this way or that way? The client will say, what do I care how you phrase it? And they'll say, well, do you want it to be chal me'ayom, or do you not want it to be chal me'ayom? Because this is how it makes a difference. So sometimes they know. So that's it's not a pella. Rav Huna b'Rav Yeshua Amar bein akniyah v'kanina minei bein v'kanina minei v'akniyah lo tzarech. No, regardless of which order you put those phrases in, you're not going to have to say me'ayom. Any shtar that has a kinyan in it, it's as if it says me'ayom. And even though it says la'achar misa, the kinyan aguf is going to be chal me'ayom. The kinyan perus is going to be chal li'achar misa. Ubeduchran pitgame dahavi ba'anpanya peligi. The machlokas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is only by a shtar that they just wrote as a zikaron dvarim. Beduchran pitgami dahavi banpana means a way to remember of what, you know, exactly what happened. Meaning they're not being made on any special kinyan suda that was done in front of them. It's just that the nosein told them to write a shtar matana to ploni. Meaning if they're just relying on the classic shtar, on a kinyan shtar without any extra kinyanim on the side, that's where the our mishnah was talking about. The Rabbi Yosef says you need to. Rabbi Yehuda says you need to say me'ayom, and Rabbi Yosef says you don't need me'ayom. But if on top of the regular shtar you're also following this minhag of a special kinyan sudra with the edim, that's enough to show, regardless of how you phrase it in the shtar, of which words come first, that's enough to show that you're serious and you want it to be chal me'ayom. So I'm Rav Kahana. So I said over this teaching in front of Rav Zvid Minardav, and he told me, Atun Hachi Masnisula, that you taught it that way, Anan Hachi Masnisula. You taught this teaching as a question answer, a back and forth between Rav and Rav Nachman, and what Rav Nachman answered to him, whereas I taught it not as a question answer, not as a shakla vitaria. It was just a statement that Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, that Rav said in the name of Rav Nachman, Bahakna, Enot Tzarech. Melech that when it comes to Akna'ah through a Kinyan Sudar, you don't need to write Me'ayom. Bein Akniyah v'Kaninimineh. Bein Kaninimineh v'Akniyah. Lo Tzarech. That whether you phrase it as Akniyah first and then Kaninimineh, or the reverse, you don't need to say Me'ayom. And it's only Beduchan Pitkami Da'avu Banpana Pligi. And the whole Machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only if you're not doing that extra Kinyan Sudar. You're just doing the regular Zikaron Dvarim. You know, that's just for the record, we're just marking down that we were told to write this star matana for Ploni. Okay, then the star matana is going to have to say mehayom if you want it to in fact be chal mehayom. Period. So now the Gemara is going to go back to discussing what the Mishnah had said. So the Mishnah had said that let's say you have such an arrangement that you wrote that you're giving all of your nechassim to your child or to anybody again for that matter, and you're keeping all of the payros of that nechassim. So he said neither father nor son should sell those nechassim. The father does not own the gufa karka, the son does not own the payros of the karka, and if they do sell those nechassim, they're only selling their position within the nechassim. So when the son sells the nechassim, he's only selling the rights to those nechassim after his father dies, because he has no rights while the father's alive. So, frankly, Gemara, but what happens if after the father dies, the son is already dead? So what rights did he ever have then in those nechassim? Does the lokeach get to get anything? So Itmar, machara ben b'chayei av, if the son sold his rights to those nechassim while dad was still alive, and then umesa ben b'chayei av, and then the son predeceased the father, so the son, it never actually, in a practical sense, never actually went over to the son. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, lo kana lokeach. Rabbi Yochanan says then even after the father dies, the lokeach is not the owner of those nechassim. They go to the yorshim of the father. That which we say that after the father dies, the lokeach gets them, that's only if the son is still alive, because the son would have gotten them, so his lokeach takes his place and gets them. But if the son is dead, then he would not have gotten them, and therefore the lokeach does not get them. Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says the lokech is kona those nechassim fully after the misas ha'av. Tosos raises the question that we're going to have in a few days from now in Daf Kuf Lamites, a special takanas usha, that they made a special takana that if a woman sells the nechse melug while her husband is alive and then she dies, that the husband could take the nechse melug away from the lukuchos. Now the woman has a kinyan aguf in the nechse melug, so her role in the nechse melug, it would be the parallel to the son in our Mishnah, right? The one who has the kinyan haguf. The husband has the kinyan peros in the nechse melug. He would be the parallel in our Mishnah to the father in our Mishnah, the one who has the kinyan peros. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that if the son dies b'chaye av, the mechir is not chal at all, right? The mechir is not chal at all. So the same should be true if the woman dies b'chaye baila, that the mechir would be batel. And yet the Gemara is going to say, you know why the husband could take those nechse melug right away, take them away from the lukuchos, and the whole mechir is batel, and the kuchos don't have anything? Because the inusha, they made a takana like this. What do you need a takana zusha? It's an ikar adin. It's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us is the ikar adin. Right? Rabbi Yochanan says, lo kana lokeach. If the son predeceases the father, then there is no transaction. Lokeach was not kona anything. So here, by nechse melug as well, we should say that if the isha predeceases her husband, so lo kana lokeach. So the whole sale is void. Why do I need a special takana zusha? So Tosas has a few terutzim. Other Rishonim have different terutzim. Tosas suggests that we need the takana where the baal is not ochel the peros of the nechse melug, where he said dinu dvar mainly be peros nechsayich. So if he's not even ochel the peros, then I need a takana zusha. Then he could still void the sale. Or Tosas says that we're going to explain the basis for Yochanan is because kinyan peros is kinyan aguf, and therefore the kinyan of the father is ma'akev the son from being able to sell it, but the zchus achilas peros that the husband has is only midrabanan, meaning the whole vart within Rabbi Yochanan is that who's the real owner over here, that the real owner is the father because he has the kinyan peros, and kinyan peros is real ownership by a husband's rights to eat the peros nechse melug. That's a takana midrabanan. That's not a reflection. He doesn't really have a kinyan peros midrabanan. We allow him to eat the peros. So it's not a reflection of him being the real owner. And therefore, if he's going to exercise rights like a real owner and be able to confiscate from the kluchos, that's going to require takana. Takana Susha is going to have to institute that because he's not really the real owner. And there are many other answers in Rishonim, but we have a daf to do. So let's go back to it. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Kana Lokech. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason Lokech is not Kana is Kinyan Peros, Kinyan Guftami, that the husband, the whoever owns the Kinyan HaPeros is the real owner of this karka. And in our case, the father owns the Kinyan HaPeros, and therefore he's the real owner of the karka. So the Mechira of the son during the lifetime of the father is not going to be Chal unless the son ever picks up Kinyan Peros. But if the son himself never picked up the Kinyan Peros, then the whole Mechira doesn't mean anything. Reish Lakish Amar Kana Lokech, Reish Lakish says Lokech is Kona, because Reish Lakish holds Kinyan Peros lav kikinyan haguf dami, that Kinyan Peros is not a reflection of genuine ownership. Kinyan haguf is the real ownership. And even if you had the son had Kinyan haguf and he never during his lifetime for a day enjoyed the Kinyan Peros, he was still the rightful owner. And as the rightful owner, he had a right to sell it. So that's the fundamental machlokas in principle, is how do we view ownership? Is Kinyan HaPeros the real ownership, or is Kinyan HaGuf the real ownership? So ask the Gemara, that's the big machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, that we have over here with a father who has the Kinyan HaPeros and he's giving the Kinyan HaGuf to the son. That's an old machlokas, meaning the machlokas where the Kinyan HaPeros, Kinyan HaGuf Dami, or Lav Kinyan HaGuf Dami, is already machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, somewhere else. So why does our Mishnah have to get involved again? I mean, the halacha is, it appears by Bikurim, the halacha is that a person has to bring the first fruits of the Shivas Aminim each year, and Mitzvah Saseh, to read the Parshas Bikurim when he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Chiyuv Bikurim is only noeg on fruits that grow in your own land. But if you are not the owner of the land, you only own the peros, and you went to the store and you bought a bunch of pomegranates, you don't do Mikra Bikurim on those pomegranates that you bought in the store. Just because you own payros doesn't mean anything. You have to own the land that those payros grew in. So it's machlokas from Yochanan Reish Lakish over there. The itmar hamocher sadehu lepayros. If a person sells his field for the rights to the payros, meaning I'm keeping the gufa karka, what I'm selling to you is the rights to the payros that grow in my property. Rabbi Yochanan Amar mevi vikore. Rabbi Yochanan says the lokeach, the one who bought the rights to the payros, could be mevi bikurim and kore mikra bikurim. It's called his land. Reish Lakish Amar mevi. And Reish Lakish says he could bring the Bikurim, but he cannot read the Mikra Bikurim because it's not his land. He can't say that Damash and Satali, that it's the land that you gave to me. So Rabbi Yochanan, maybe Bikori, why does Rabbi Yochanan think he could even do the Mikra Bikurim? Very simple. Kasavar Kinyan Peros, Kikinyan Guftami. This person owns the Kinyan Peros in this land. That is the same as Kinyan Guf, meaning that is the most powerful indication of ownership. So he could say, Va'ata Yinei Evesias, Reish Priyadama Asher Nasatali, because it is Hadama Asher Nasatali. Whereas Reish Lakish Amar Mevi Ve'Eino Korei, that no, you cannot do Mikra Bikurim because Kinyan Peros Lav Kinyan Haguf Dami. The Lokeach is not considered the owner of the property, and therefore he cannot read the Parshas Bikurim because he cannot say Hadama Asher Nasatali. He does have to be Mevi because he is included in the pasuk of Lakachta Mereshis Kol Priyadama Asher Tavi Mi'Artzecha, even though the Guf HaKarka is not his, but since the Makom of the Yanikas HaPeros from the Karka is Meshuba to him, so it is somewhat Artzucha, it is somewhat his land, but nevertheless, even though it's somewhat his land, he cannot be Kori Mikra Bikurim. So we already have Machlokas by Bikurim, where the Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guf Dami. Why do we have to have this Machlokas again when it comes to Mechiras HaBen, Chaye Ha'av, the Matana that the father gave to him, that he's only going to get the Peros Le'achar Misa? So Amalach Rabbi Yochanan, Afal Gav to be Alma, Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guf Dami. Rabbi Yochanan will say, even though you're right, I already told you that Kinyan Peros is Kinyan Guf Dami, Hacha Itzrich, over here with the story with the father and son, I needed to tell it to you again, because you might have assumed that even though Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guf Dami, this is an exception. Why would you assume it's an exception? Salka Taita Chamina, I would think that it's only when you have a Lokeach and a Mocher who are unrelated to each other. That's what we say Kinyan Peros Kinyan Guf Dami. But a father is giving a Kinyan Guf to his own son and leaving Kinyan Peros for himself, A father legabe a son is going to be mochel. He wants his son to have as much as he possibly can. So even though normally when a person retains for himself a kinyan peros, when a person gives to somebody else a kinyan peros, so that somebody else is the owner of the kinyan aguf. And when a person retains for himself the kinyan peros, so he is the real owner of the property. But if I'm retaining for myself the kinyan peros and I'm giving my son the guf akarka, I probably want to give him everything. I want to give him as generously as I possibly can. So that's what you would have thought. That's why Rabbi Yochanan tell me that even the kinyan peros that a father retains for himself when he gives away the guf akarka, even that's considered a kinyan aguf. That's Rabbi Yochanan's tshichusa. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar, afkav dibi alma. Kinyan peros lav kikinyan aguf dami, even though generally kinyan peros is not kikinyan aguf, hacha itzrich. Over here, where the father's leaving the peros for himself, I would need to teach it, because salkatai techamina. I might have thought that that's only when the mocher is leaving himself the kinyan aguf, and what he sold was the kinyan peros. So, kol gabe nafshei, afilu b'makom brei, nafshei adif alei. But I would think that when you're keeping the kinyan peros, then you're going to say kinyan peros is kikinyan aguf. I mean, Reish Lakish says, you're right, I hold kinyan peros is lav kinyan aguf, because the way kinyan peros normally works is that I'm keeping the land and I'm selling you the rights to the peros. So I'm giving up as little as I possibly can. So I'm selling you the rights to the peros, but I'm not giving you real ownership. But when I'm keeping the kinyan peros, I'm selling you the guvakar, I'm keeping the peros, I'm giving you as little as I possibly can. And therefore, I retain the real ownership. Say Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish. You know, we'll pick up with the Esvei tomorrow. It's a whole discussion leads into the next daf. Okay, so we left off. Machlokas kinyan peros, kinyan guf dami or not. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.